Now, I do, thinking of that great scripture from Ephesians 6 that Melanie just read, I do firmly believe in what theologians call the inerrancy of Scripture. That is, that the Bible cannot err. But someday, when I see the Apostle Paul face to face, you know, he says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Shouldn't he have said, "Children, don't provoke Dad"? I mean, come on. We are going to look today at, first of all, a word about next week. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Oops. So, a couple of things about that. Number one, if you think about it on Sunday morning, put on something red to celebrate Pentecost, symbolizing the tongues as of fire that came down, recorded in the second chapter of Acts, how the Holy Spirit came upon the gathered followers of Jesus like tongues of fire. So if you think about it, wear something red. But also for next Sunday morning, you all are going to be doing something really special. And I am not going to be here with you. I'm going down to the presbytery meeting, and then after that I'm taking some study leave. But don't dare miss next Sunday morning. It's going to be really special. Jeff is going to be putting together a musical celebration of Pentecost that I think is going to be a wonderful gift to you. So please be sure and be a part of that next Sunday morning. And back to Exodus chapter 20, which is the Ten Commandments. And I chose this because today is Mother's Day, but I wanted to look at parenthood more in general, but also, as I hope you'll see, that this commandment, honor your father and your mother, has to do with much more than being a parent or being a child. It has to do with all relationships of authority. Every one of us is under authority, and almost every one of us has authority over others in some way. We are designed by God to live under authority. And the most miserable people in the world are those who never figure that out. To not figure that out is to be in your own private hell. But we're gonna get there in just a minute. I also have to confess, even before I read this text, I always have ambivalent feelings about Father's Day and Mother's Day. And not because I was blessed myself to have wonderful parents, godly parents. They're both with the Lord now, and I'm very thankful for both of them. But I'm ambivalent about Mother's Day and Father's Day for a couple of reasons. Number one, both were invented by florists. Well, Mother's Day was anyway. Dad's never got flowers. But Father's Day must have been invented by the sporting goods store. And secondly, I'm a little bit ambivalent about it, particularly about the way that it's sometimes celebrated in church. We don't acknowledge that it can be a difficult day for lots of folks. Maybe you didn't have the relationship that you wanted with your mother. Or maybe the absence of mother, or maybe you're grieving the loss of mom in a particularly acute way this year. And this is where, as believers, we can always come back to, first of all, not only is there no such thing as a perfect parent, and actually I'll put it this way, in all of history, there has only been one perfect parent, and both of his first two kids rebelled against him. Right? But we can turn to, Jesus taught us that we can call God Father. That we can turn to God as the ultimate parent who heals every wound. And be thankful for the gift of moms and dads. We're going to look at both today because we're honoring your father and your mother. We can be thankful and we can exercise the gift of motherhood in our own lives. I hope that's what we're going to unpack this morning. But first of all, hear the word of the Lord. It's a very brief verse. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Hear the word of God. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Mighty God, your word is truth. Open us now and write your word within us so that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, you may be aware that the Ten Commandments are divided into two parts. The first four commandments speak to our relationship with God, and the final six commandments speak to our relationships with one another. And the very first of that, the latter section of the law, the very first is honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you. There's another version of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5 where this commandment is slightly expanded. Let me read that to you. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And just a moment ago, Melanie read for us from Ephesians 6, where Paul points out that this is the first commandment that carries with it a promise. And it's a two-part promise, that your days may be long and that it may go well for you in the land that God gives you. The first part of that promise, you'll live a long life. Second, that it will go well with you. In other words, that as a nation, as a people, you'll be blessed when parents are given the honor that they are due. Now, what does honor mean in this context? First of all, and I'm relying here on, there's a scholar who, he died about 10 years ago, he's now with the Lord, but a very well-known Christian ethicist named Lou Smeeds. He was a professor for many years at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena. And writing about this, Lou Smeeds said, the word honor does not mean we have to like being with our parents on camping trips or even to relish having them over for dinner, although that would be nice if you enjoy that. All it commands is honor. And he's absolutely right about that. In the ancient word, the Hebrew word for honor means literally to, the Hebrew language is always very graphic, very earthy. It means, the Hebrew word is kabod, and it means to weigh heavy. In other words, on the scales of decision making in your life, your parents have great weight. And honoring them means acknowledging the weight, in a good way, of their role in your life. Once again, kabod, you know, to honor them, does not mean that you're automatically going to have a fun time taking mom out for Mother's Day brunch. That would be nice. If you still have your mother with you and you're still able to do that. But you don't even have to have a good relationship with mom or dad in order to honor them. Now, also, I would say, even though honor is a commandment, it's a commandment given to free people, and it must be freely obeyed out of our own will. It cannot be coerced. Just as love is commanded, but it can't be coerced. And I want to speak particularly here to people who have been victimized by a parent's rejection or abuse or neglect, and you may not be emotionally free to relate to parents at all. And this is where our Heavenly Father can move in our lives. Our Heavenly Father has power to move in your life, to heal that place of hurt, and to take that place as the ultimate parent, so that you can come to a place of maturity in Christ where you can honor even a parent who didn't do the right thing for you. This commandment from God is for free, mature adults to honor father and mother, regardless of your feelings about whether or not they deserve it. And once again, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. And both of my parents are with the Lord, by the way, and have been for years now. But on Facebook this morning, one of my older sisters posted a couple of photos of our mom, and when she wrote a caption on it that said, "She wasn't perfect, but she was perfect for us." And she was. More about that in a minute, because that's, you know, there's ways that you can honor parents even if they're no longer here in on the surface of the earth with us. Now, there's a promise attached to the commandment, and it has two parts. The first part is long life, that your days may be long. And I really believe, and I'm basing this on scholarly commentary on this, that this long life in this sense does not necessarily mean that you're going to live a long chronological time. You may and you may not. But it's referring more to quality rather than quantity. Honoring parents is part of a life that's fulfilled and bountiful from childhood to fulfilled age, no matter how long that is. When Abraham died, the Bible says of him, "Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." He lived a long, adventuresome, wonder-filled life to a good old age. So the first half of the promise of the fifth commandment speaks to personal fulfillment. The second part of the promise speaks also to fulfillment, but to the nation as a whole, to us as a people. Then the promise is, once again, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring parents is the beginning of an extended web of honor that ties a culture, a society together. People that grow up learning to honor father and mother learn to honor other authorities that make for peace and harmony in our world. Those that grow up resenting authority and with bitterness against authority will direct that bitterness and resentment against every other authority. When we honor father and mother, we're contributing something to the greater good, to the strength and security of the society we live in. I was joking about this earlier, but it's important to notice in this instance, you know, I said Paul should have directed the commandment to kids. but he didn't. But this one does. Notice it doesn't say, parents, honor your children. It doesn't say, parents, be kind, sensitive, generous, thoughtful, and fair to your children. Now, all those things are things that parents ought to be, right? So, but the commandment doesn't say that. It says, children, and we're all just kids with long legs, honor your father and your mother. So the implication is whether they to whatever degree they deserve it or not. Honor them. And there's a reason. Have you noticed that you did not get to choose your parents? And of course, you know, in a very profound way, they didn't really get to choose you either. And even if they adopted you, they didn't know what you were going to grow to be. And you may have been raised in a home where respect came easily. Or perhaps you were raised in a conflicted or troubled home where it was difficult. Either way, we didn't get to choose our parents, and so we're to honor them. In fact, I would say we cannot be, and based on this commandment, we cannot be healthy, balanced, spiritually mature people until we have learned to be rightly related to authority. And our first experience of authority is our parents. The most miserable people in the world, as I said, are those who live their life resisting and fighting against and resenting authority. Now, you might say, well, come on, Phil, because as I look around this room, there's a lot of people of mature age, such as myself, and maybe you no longer have your parents on this earth, or maybe you're at a point in the journey where the roles have been reversed, and you're the caregiver. My own experience with that, by the way, is that they, no matter how much you think those roles are reversed, they'll still remind you who's the dad and who's the mom. Right? But even if your parents are no longer living, and as I said, both of my parents, mom and dad, are in heaven. So how do you honor them? Well, let me just suggest some things this morning. And this, you can apply this to parents that are living. And let me just start right there. If your parents are living, you honor their authority. Now, obviously, that changes and evolves as you grow. And a healthy parent-child relationship allows that relationship to evolve and grow into a relationship of equals. But spiritually speaking, the Bible would say you are still under your parents' authority. Not in the sense that you obey their every command, because as I said, by now they've learned to back off from that. But in the sense you live your life in a way that honors them, that reflects well on them, that shows them the respect that is due to them. And just by way of confession, one of the things, and I know that there are many, many here who probably have the same experience. You know, I wish I had called my mom and dad more, and I can't now. We were separated for many years by many miles, and I wish now that I could pick up the phone and just make that phone call, but I can't anymore. Minimize that regret, brothers and sisters. One of the ways you honor mom and dad in mature years is just to keep the communication open. I can honor my parents, who've been, as I said, have been in heaven for years. I can still live a life that will make them proud. Right? Now, I don't know how much people on the other side see of us. We see nothing of them. That's a curtain that's drawn for us that we can't see beyond. The Bible gives a couple of indicators that maybe they see more of us than we see of them. Remember, book of Hebrews says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before, and they're cheering us on. The Bible also says there's great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. So I don't want to make too much of that because I'm going beyond, you know, what Scripture would be, you know, would really. But I can still live my life in a way that reflects well on the memory of my parents. And that brings honor to them. I can still talk about them in a way that reflects well on them, that brings honor to them. When I get together with others who remember them and swap stories about my mom and dad, I can still honor them in the things that I say about them. I can honor my parents by maintaining good relationships with my siblings. I have four sisters and no brothers, and I was not spoiled. Get that thought out of your mind right now. But it honors our parents when we maintain good relationships with each other. And which reminds me, I can still pick up the phone and call my sisters, who are all still down in California, and I need to do that more often. I can honor my father and my mother in the way that I relate to my own son. Because there's a heritage of generations, isn't there? There are legacies, and particularly a legacy of faith that's passed down from one generation to the next. And so I honor my mom and dad in the way that I relate to my son. Somebody told me years ago, and I believe that this is profoundly true, that as long as your parents are alive, they are an emotional and spiritual umbrella over you, protecting you from a harsh world. Even when the roles have been reversed and you're the caregiver, they're still emotionally and spiritually, they are that umbrella. And one of the experiences of, and many of you have been through this, of losing your parents, all of a sudden you're exposed. It's as if the layer of protection is gone. But when that happens, the thing to pray through before the Lord, now I'm the umbrella. And I have a generation under me, and not just my son, but nieces and nephews, young people in the life of the church, children of friends that I have a relationship with. Now I'm the umbrella. And I honor my father and mother when I fulfill that calling in my life. And finally, I can honor my father and mother in the way that I submit to authorities that are over me today. Every one of us is under authority in some way. I'm under the authority of our presbytery. I'm under the authority of our session. And more than that, let me read you something. A member congregation of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, our statement of faith is the Westminster Confession of Faith and the two catechisms that go with it, written in 1647. I could have made up any year, couldn't I? trust me. The Westminster Confession, and I'm going to read to you from what's called the Larger Catechism, a teaching tool, very, very wisely said that the fifth commandment applies to more than just relationship with parents. It applies to any relationship of authority. Listen to this. Question 124 of the Westminster Larger Catechism. Who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? And the answer? By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. Now, the modern world lies to us and says, honor no authority other than the Almighty Self. If we go that way, we end up doing, well, the way the Bible describes Israel at its lowest ebb, that every person did what was right in their own eyes. But God's Word tells us, honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. And just one final thought about submitting to authority. Because we all have authorities, and this commandment tells us, as Westminster says, we are to submit to rightful authority. The seventh chapter of Luke tells about a centurion, he's an officer of the Roman army, who came to Jesus, and he was concerned about his servant, whom he cared for very much. And he said, in essence, my servant is dying. And Jesus said, this is also recorded in the eighth chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, all right, I'll come right away. And the centurion said, no, you don't need to come. I'm a man under authority, and I have those in authority, or those under me, over whom I am in authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. So if you just say the word, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But if you just say the word, Jesus, I know it will be done. You see what he's doing? He's recognizing the authority of Jesus. This man who's very familiar with authority in his life, because the Roman army doesn't function without authority. He says, you're in charge. Will you heal him? I know you'll heal him. And Jesus said, in all Israel, I have not seen such faith. The centurion went home to find his servant healed. Now, what does that tell us? Ultimately, all submission, whether to parents or to other rightful authorities, grows out of submission to the one most worthy to receive it. And that's Jesus. We begin by bending the knee to him and say, Lord, all authority belongs to you. You're my Lord. I am a broken human being. Heal me. And then, in all of our other relationships, who is over me? Who is over me in authority? Jesus and every one of you. Because, and who's in authority over you? Me and everybody else in this room. Jesus said, whoever would be the first among you must be the last. Whoever would be the greatest among you in my kingdom must be what? The servant. The least. Must be the servant of all. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. It's where the deepest joy is found. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge now your supreme authority. You're Lord of all. You're Lord of our lives. Forgive our rebellion against you and receive us once again now as we bow the knee to you. And give us grace to learn to submit to one another, to honor one another, to honor our parents, whether they're still here on this earth or whether they're now with you. Give us grace to honor our fathers and our mothers. And Lord, our Father, may we honor you in our submission to one another. And we pray it in your holy and precious name. Amen.